Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, beautiful souls. We have a great show planned for you today. And our questions that we're going to dive into are, is there a way to connect all the hearts in the world through song? And if each of us committed to vibrational wellness, would there be world peace within the blink of an eye? And I'm so happy to have with me today Kevin James Carroll. Kevin is a world-traveling devotional singer, shakuhachi flute player, and a chant leader. His music is a world fusion of mantras and chants from various traditions, mixed with his own prayers and heart songs. And the vision that Kevin holds for our world is to serve the movement of our connection to the heart as a way to find peace and harmony in our lives and the world. Welcome, Kevin, to today's show.
Thank you, Kara.
It's so good to finally meet you. I've listened to so much of your music, and I know that you have been traveling the world. You are known as what we used to call a musical bard. I think that term is not used that much, maybe a nomad, but you're traveling all around and bringing the gift of music. I'd love to go back a little bit further to your roots. What shaped your destiny? Were you always traveling with a guitar, even as a kid? Were you sitting in the corner and playing music, or did that come at a later time for you?
Yeah, music came at a later time in life. Well, 21 years old is when I first discovered singing and playing. But as a child, I always loved to sing and always had a confidence with singing. So I was the one chosen to sing the Christmas carols or during the school performances. They always chose me as the main singer, just because I had this love for it and confidence and, you know, passion for singing. But it wasn't really recognized by my family. Both my parents came from hardship and war and struggle and depressions and things, so they just wanted me to have a job. They didn't see me as a musician back then, but it wasn't until I turned 21 and actually at my 21st birthday, a stranger came to the party who I'd never met, who offered me a birthday present and sat down in front of me and played the guitar and sang a song, and my jaw dropped and I looked at him and said, I have to do this.
Oh, somebody inspired you just like you then pass it on and inspire others. That's a beautiful story. Yeah. So did you start right away with mantras and songs that uplift and inspire us, or were you also doing covers and rock and roll? And what was that path? Yeah. Where is that turning point that brought you to where you are today?
it's a slow curve. I started playing songs of my favorite musicians at the time, which was artists like I was into folk music like Neil Young, James Taylor, Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. To name a few, I think a lot of people at my age can relate to that music. And I picked up the harmonica, but immediately I started writing songs as well. And as I wrote more songs, they started to become, deeper in a way, mm-hmm. in meaning. Mm-hmm. And then I took off with my guitar. I had a vision, because I grew up in a small fishing village with a very supportive community and family, but I felt that I needed to follow my passion for travel. I sort of, as a child, always dreamed of traveling the world and always imagined myself traveling and had this strong vision. So I grabbed my guitar and took off to Asia, and that's where I discovered mantra amongst mm-hmm. other music. I basically played music everywhere, but I just with the locals, and I sort of had this ambition to learn at least one song from each country as I moved through. And so there I did learn a mantra in India, but I also learned Buddhist songs, and for example, in Thailand or Indonesian music. I was just inspired by all of it. And it wasn't until later in life, when I was around 26 or onward, that we were, as a community, I withdrew from society, not as a rebellion, but more as a mission to try and find something I could offer to the culture mm-hmm. in Australia, because I felt that it was quite dysfunctional. I started to, as I became in my early 20s and then getting into the late 20s, I recognized there was a lot of dysfunction there, and I was living in a very unhealthy culture, and that I wanted to serve, I wanted to help, to offer something, but I knew that if I stayed in it, I was less likely to find the answers. So I turned to nature and went and disconnected and lived in nature with a community of people. And we put into practice some of the things that we discovered in the East, which included yoga and meditation and studying different teachings and just a bit of this and a bit of that. And mm-hmm. but then we used to gather together, and music became a part of that. And somehow I started to write songs that I felt that we wanted to sing. And we were a group of people that were exploring not only good health and connection to nature, but also connection to our true nature. And so then I started to write songs that were about having a spiritual aspect to them. And then naturally I started to gravitate back to the mantras. And I remember one moment where I knew the power of mantras, and I was listening to them, but I only had bootleg recordings from India, from putting a tape deck in, a temple, mm-hmm. and listening to that, because I didn't have the role models or the influences that are available today with this kind of music. And I didn't know where I was going, but I just sat one day and decided I'm going to find out what this is about. I'm just going to chant, and I'm not going to stop till something happens. And I sat there by myself on the balcony in the morning sun, drinking a tea, and I just started to chant a mantra. And I went on and on, and I started to observe how the mind just kicking in, and I could really differentiate my presence with the voice that talks in my head saying, this is boring, and what about the others wake up, that I might miss out on breakfast, and all this, mm-hmm. this sabotaging voices coming in, and I just kept going and going, and then a veil lifted, and I witnessed the sacredness around me, and it's such a profound experience that I was weeping, and that was the turning point. That was where I felt like I wanted. My first thought was, I want to share this with people. Other people need to experience.
Beautiful. Kevin, I would love our listeners to hear your music. And like a lot of times you're taking a well-known chant and then you're also adding your poetry and your lyrics. You have a release called Asatoma, and I believe it's a Pavamana mantra that begins, as most Sanskrit prayers do, with the word Om. Do you want to tell us a little bit, or should we just dive right in?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit. It's just as I was a songwriter, and I was also writing my own, what I call heart songs, when I when I discovered the mantras, I felt that some of the versions that I had heard were very monotonal and were very, very simple, and I wanted to add my touch to them. And then I thought, well, why don't I sing the translation as well? And I've never heard that done before. And so I did that, and it really helped a lot of people. So it's been kind of a signature of my music to do that. And it's now, it's a lot of people do. It's wonderful to bring that in.
Beautiful. Let's listen to Asatoma. This is by Kevin James Carroll. And we'll talk a little bit more about the song afterwards.
Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyoti Gamaya Mrityama Amritam Gamaya Om Asatoma Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyoti Gamaya Mrityama Amritam Gamaya. Oh Lord, lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to the light, from the earth to the open skies. Lead me from death to eternal life. Oh Lord, lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to the light, from the earth to the open skies. Lead me from death to eternal life. Om Asatoma Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityoma Amritam Gamaya. Om Asatoma Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrityoma Amritam Gamaya. Oh Lord, lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to the light, from the earth to the open skies. Lead me from death to eternal life. Oh Lord, lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to the light, from the earth to the open skies. Lead me from death to eternal life. Oh, oh, Asatoma Satgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya
You are listening to Asa Toma, and Kevin James is with me here in studio. Lead me from the unreal to the real, from the darkness to the light, from the earth to the open skies, from death to eternal light. Kevin, what was one of the hardest obstacles you faced being on the road and dedicating your life to the bhakti path?
That's easy. Being disconnected from the natural cycles of nature. But when we travel, we move through different time zones, and also play music sometimes late at night, and then being hungry and eating late. Those very practical, physical aspects were the greatest challenge, because after doing that for over a decade, it really starts to weigh on your physical being.
Yeah,
also, one of the things I experience is I channel a lot of energy when I'm chanting, and it stays in my body for up to 3 days. If it's a powerful circle. I call them circles, they're just so you know my language. Because I don't call what I do a concert. It's a circle, because we all contribute and co-create together. But I find it very difficult to have a sink into deep sleep after that for a few days. And if you're doing circle after circle, basically get pretty tired. But other than that, it's pure bliss.
Beautiful. We're going to take a very, very short break, Kevin, and we're going to be back with more about devotional chanting and the power of song, the beauty of songwriting, and the gift of traveling the world with our music.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today is Kevin James Carroll, devotional singer, shakuhachi flute player, and a chant leader. And before the break, we were listening to his song, Asa Toma, and now we're going to dive a little bit more into voice. Kevin, Socrates, can you imagine, I'm pulling this up, this quote, "To know thyself is the beginning of wisdom." And as singers, we know that when we sing, we're able to be so intimate with every nook and cranny of ourselves. We can sense our breath. We can sense our emotional landscapes, our stories, our true colors, our fragility, our sadness, our bliss. Why is, or maybe I'll phrase it better, does chanting and having a chanting practice and a meditation practice, is that the key to make us more compassionate beings? Can we start feeling into other people when we're singing together?
Yes, definitely. It's a key. And I think the main reason for that is that it changes our emotional state. We feel that more of a connection to our true nature, which ultimately is compassion, love, and peace.
Yeah.
So I witness time and time again the transformation of I wouldn't say the consciousness changes, but the emotional state, the emotional state of people changes, and then they become aware of a consciousness that they weren't aware of in their more stressful state that they arise in. And I think that laugh, and the more time you spend in that state, the more it shapes your personality in that way, and you can become more of a compassionate person. I think that the philosophy that I share with people is that we already are compassionate people. We already are kind. We already are harmonious in our nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we're born that way. It's just that we disconnect from it within our own psyche. And chanting mantras is a way back to that authenticity and that true nature. And therefore, we become who we really are, which is the person we're all trying to be, and continue to fail by trying, because ultimately it's more about relaxing into and being yourself.
And trusting that beingness, right? I think it reminds me, I had a wonderful author on the show, Paul Levy, and he had written a book called Wedico, something about curing the mind virus. But in essence, it was this: we have this true, beautiful nature, this beauty that we come into the world with, this openness, and then through certain conditionings, the fear virus, in various ways, start to embed itself, right? And I think that what you're saying is that when you're singing and chanting and breathing together and creating these circles, we are reminded of that essence of pure divinity, of love. And once we experience that more and more often, I mean, that would be like my dream, Kevin, to have these circles happening on every street corner, you know, in the morning, in the afternoon, where people just gather to sing together, to chant together, because then it would become really, I don't want to say habitualized, but it would be, the conditioning would not be in fear, but the conditioning would be that we have the practice of just being in that space of well-being, of love, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's my ambition, is to bring it, plant the seeds of this kind of gathering, where we're remembering, reuniting, bringing that into the culture and all the different cultures around the world. And I make it clear that you don't need to drop your belief system. You don't need to change your religion or change yourself. Just add the universal aspect as well, because we need to get beyond the identity of countries and different nationalities and different skin colors or languages, and really embrace the world now, because our world is suffering, and it's only when we have an embracing of each other, then there can be no war.
Right.
And
right.
I share that vision. I see people coming together as a way to be harmonious in community, to be harmonious in corporations, even, or workplaces, schools. If you go back in history, tribal people, indigenous cultures all around the world use singing in the same way. We've gone into a technological era very fast, and we're allowing it to do everything for us, and not realizing that it's taking away something very important, our connection to the source.
Yeah.
This is something that we've always done together.
What is so beautiful about your music, Kevin, is the fusion. You were talking about this, you know, let us, we don't have to drop any certain belief systems or conditionings, because there is a universality behind it. And with your chanting, what I love so much is that you draw influences from the, you know, let's say the traditional Indian kirtan, but also the Celtic tradition, Sufi chants, Western folk songs. You were saying in the beginning that, you know, you were listening for a short time, maybe James Taylor, this type of, like, straight from the heart, real songs. And what do you see? I mean, for example, in kirtan, there's a very big call and response. In gospel music, we also have a very big call and response. I can only imagine, you're probably going to share with me, but I'm going to put it out there, that is just, it strengthens all the rivers that are coming together if we can blend them all. They become somehow stronger. Or how do you see that when you start fusing it all? Because I think that's the beauty, that it all meets one big melting pot.
Yeah, and I think many others agree with us. And there's some people that disagree. There's some people that are very traditional, and they believe that it should be done in a particular way. And I honor and respect that. And I don't claim to be an expert, or I don't claim to... I make it clear that I don't come from any religion. And I don't push any religion. I don't come from any guru or any teaching. And I also feel that I represent a lot of other people who are also seeing the world in that way. And they're not really. I think where I came from in Australia, many of us have turned away from. We had two choices: Catholic or Christian. And we turn away from it, and we were looking to find some kind of devotion again, but without the dogma. And so we naturally tended towards a bit of this and a bit of that, but not too much. But where we become something you can put in a box, and so we sort of have to come up with our own symbols and our own words. So that's why. I don't call what I do kirtan, because I feel that is describing Hindu chanting, which is and mm-hmm. it is a particular religion that has its own dogma and around that belief system. So I chose to call it a chanting circle to keep that universal feeling and to make it accessible to people who perhaps shy away from religion because of their fears or they just don't want that, you know, that they want to be free to explore all of the different teachings and mm-hmm. Religions offer an incredible amount of wealth of wisdom, and so you know it's nice to, from my perspective, to look at what they all have in common rather than when you come from a particular religion, you tend to see what the differences are, and right. And that attitude brings us together. And I'll never forget a moment when I went to Malaysia for the first time. It was many years ago, and it was still quite a dictatorship. And we couldn't play in any venues because we sort of were hiding. So we managed mm-hmm. to sort of get in via the art. We were an expression of art, so we played in an art gallery. And mm-hmm. It was incredible because the word had got out and the big circle gathered, and in the circle were Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, and Buddhists, and Christians, all sitting around. And before I started playing, someone came and whispered in my ear, "Kevin, I know that you have one chant that is an Islamic chant, La ilaha illallah." He said, maybe you shouldn't play that song tonight, because last time a Westerner, a Christian, chanted that, you know, they burnt down a church. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
I said, "Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, we won't chant that." And so we held hands and we owned together. And mm-hmm. I chose songs from all the different faiths and spoke in respect to all of them. And the people, like the Islamic people, didn't sing, and they felt that it was not another religion. So my heart songs were okay. And it was mm-hmm. just interesting to see that they kind of weren't allowed to sing sometimes and other times. And then we all came together and we held hands in the end. And it was beautiful. There were tears, and it was such an amazing example for me how music dissolves all the boundaries and people can get beyond their differences, because really it's the conscious mind that differentiates things, separates things in order to understand. But when we get beyond the conscious mind, the conceptual mind, then we start to experience unity, not in a conceptual way, but in a way that you can, it's just obvious. It's just there.
Yeah.
And you don't need to try. It's just like, you don't even need to point at it. It's just present. And that's what chanting can do. So, yeah, it should be on every corner, every community around the world. I've been planting those seeds around the world and watching them grow, and it's really grown, and it's really beautiful to see and to be a part of it. And the support of the different movements around the world, with light bearers are gathering people together and see the meaning and the purpose in it.
Kevin, I want to go into a song which you sent in, which is beautiful in this moment, because the words, they mean we are we and we are one. We are we and we are one. And the track is called Humi Ham Brahm Hum, And we're going to listen to this track, and this track will lead us then into a very short break. But let's just really savor this thought, this unity consciousness, oneness thought. We are we, and we are one. And remember also the story that Kevin has just shared with us about standing there and everybody holding hands from all different cultures and belief systems and breathing together, singing together. Humi ham brahm hum.
We and we are one. We are we and we are one. We are we and we are one. We are we and we are one. Hami ham Brahm hum. Hami ham Brahm hum. Hami ham Brahm hum, 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 hami ham Brahm hum. We are we and we are one. We are we and we are one. Hami ham Brahm hum, 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 hami ham Brahm hum. We are we and we are. We are we and we are one. We are we and
bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time landing a job
and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Kara Johnstead. And with me today in studio is Kevin James Carroll, devotional singer, shakuhachi flute player, and a chant leader. And we were listening to many of his songs today, and you can check out his songs on all good places where they're streaming. He has a tour happening in the moment in Europe. Not sure if you're going to get over also to the States or Africa or Australia or Asia. You can share that in a little bit. Kevin, the chanting circles that you are leading, they are co-creative. We were talking about the call and response. They're empowering people to raise their voices and sing their hearts out and dance blissfully. And then what follows is this amazingly beautiful, deep silence. I think anyone who has not been in these circles can't even imagine how amazing it is. If we have our own meditation practice as one person, I just know that if like 100 people dive into meditation at the same time and sing it at the same time, it's just, it's fabulous how it's like the silence is singing. So share with us a little bit about how you prepare for holding that much energy. Do you have your own chanting practice away from the circles? Do you have to eat in a certain way or make sure you have enough water to be able to hold that much energy and lead so many hearts into oneness?
Yeah, all of that. I travel now with my wife, Susanna, and we live and breathe in always keeping in mind our state of being, our health, so that we can be in the most harmonious state that we can be in, health-wise, mentally, emotionally, so that we can be there to offer an untainted presence, and we're not getting in the way of allowing the energy to come through us. I work a lot with spontaneity, so we quite often don't know what song we're going to play, or I don't even know what the next word I'm going to speak. I just open my mouth and let it out.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own practices that we, on the road, we try to maintain just basic health, because it's really important to eat healthy food, get enough sleep, and drink enough water is crucial. And then when we, if we have time to rest, we're practicing yoga, studying, developing and meditating and walking in nature and, yeah, cooking our own food and all the good stuff that we can. And I also have different practices that I do, which is toning through the chakras. So I imagine, bring my awareness into each chakra and use the musical scale, the major scale, and do the different tones. Something that we share also on our retreat. So when we do retreats or even workshops, we share that experience with people. And also I developed my own meditation, which is, I call the active Om meditation, where it's bringing together the mantra Om, but dissecting it into movement as well, and moving energy in the body and the breath, and also self-inquiry, bringing all that together into one kind of breathing, moving on meditation that is really, really powerful. It has been for us. We love it and we love to share it. So yeah, we have practices.
Yeah, our body is our instrument, or as Francis from Assisi said, no, Lord, make me my instrument. And so when our chakras are all tuned up, then it feels good. It just feels, it feels very good. Kevin, I want to have our listeners, you also sent in this wonderful track, Om Mani Padme Hum. And I know it as more of a Tibetan Buddhist chant. I'm not sure how you came across this chant, but let's just listen to it because we're coming to the end of the show. Let's listen to this beautiful chant, and then if we're very lucky, we're going to have a little bit of time to explore the chant and then where you are at the moment with your tour.
I give up trying, I give up lying. I'm not believing, I'm just open to receiving. I'm not yearning, I'm just learning about simply being as the world keeps on turning. Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum. Oh, there's a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding deep within my soul. To be a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding is the highest goal. Oh, there's a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding deep within my soul. Be a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding is the highest goal. Oh, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum.
money, oh money, Padme, oh. Oh, there's a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding deep within my soul. To be a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding is the highest goal. There's a jewel in a lotus flower unfolding deep within my soul. A jewel in a lotus flower unfolding is the highest goal. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani, Om Mani Padme Hum. Mani Padme Hum, 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 Mani Hum, Mani Padme Hum, Mani Hum, Mani Padme Hum, Mani Hum, Mani Padme Hum.
Om Mani Padme Hum. We are here with Kevin James, the last couple of moments. Kevin, you are on a European tour in the moment. You're in Denmark right now. You're coming to Berlin, I saw, and all over Europe. Where can our audience find you for the concerts or the circles and all your retreats? Share with us your homepage.
Yeah, KevinJamesMusic.com.
Beautiful.
To remember.
Yeah, KevinJamesMusic.com. Any new albums coming out? Are you just enjoying and savoring all the amazing music you're already doing?
No, I have some new material. Actually, after tonight, tomorrow we play here in Aarhus, and then we go over to Austria, where I have a very supportive community of friends there, and they're all gathering together to help me record a couple of live sounding tracks that I recorded the vocals and the guitar in the studio, and then I play it back to them, and they sing with me conducting, and we create a clean live recording. So a lot of what you've already heard there is recorded the same way. So it's a lot of fun, and
beautiful.
I'm looking forward to that.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being with us here at Voice Rising, and for continuing the work of the passion of sharing not only your gifts, but getting everybody to start singing together and start breathing together and start hugging each other. And creating that harmony that we so long for in our world. So thank you, Kevin, so much.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot, Kara. Thanks for inviting me. And also thanks for the wonderful work that you do as well. I've only just discovered you since this invitation, and actually your singing method of laughter has helped me incredibly. So I just wanted to let you know that You've really been a godsend to me in many ways to discover your offering as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Maybe we'll meet in Berlin when you're here. Okay? Much love and many blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.